89:30. So this is a long psalm. I think there's 50-some verses to it, but hopefully we can get through it in the next week or two. But we're at Psalms 89:30. And Jim, would you like to start us off here?
Where do we start?
Praise you, Lord.
Well, first off, Lord, we want to just pause in your presence for a moment to remember the Rosers. We just lost a son last week, 19 years old, a sporting event down in Chicago. So, Father, we know the pain. Some of us know the pain. I've never lost a child. You lost a child. You know what it's like. Father, we just pray that the Comforter will be with them in their hour of need. Because, Lord, we know that we can say, we can come up with all kind of wonderful words and send all kind of sympathy cards, but there's only one person that can really comfort them, and that's the Holy Ghost. So, Father, we pray that as people do try and comfort them, Lord, that your anointing will be on their words, will be on their cards, and will be in those phone conversations. Father, they'll feel your presence in a special way, given this time, and even in the days and years to come, Father, as the scar heals over the wound. We just remember them this day. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the bread that we're about to break this morning. Father, I was taking communion last week, and you said, do this in remembrance of me until I come. And I thought to myself, gee, Lord, you've already come.
Amen.
And you say, do it in remembrance of me. And I say, well, Lord, I remember my mom and my dad. They're deceased, but I'm glad to remember you. We live in the same house together. We're one, Father. Father, that's what you want your people to wake up to, that even now as we open up this word, that you're ever present with us, Lord, inside of us, here to divinely reveal your word to us, Father. Speak life to our innermost being. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a present, ever-present Jesus inside of each temple here, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're in an hour this day where you are awakening up your people to the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ, Father. We just thank you, Father, for the great moving of your Spirit in those who love you, and they're seeking you out, Father.
Yes.
And Father, you said that all things work together for our good according to your purposes to them that are called and that love God. Father, we love you this morning. We open our hearts to you.
Yes.
And Father, we just pray that you'll fill us again with your goodness, your love, your wisdom, Father, that we may leave this place.
Yes.
We may go out into the sanctuary this morning, Lord, that people would see Jesus, that we would be able to spread your life wherever we go, whenever we go. For your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're in Psalms 89, start at 30 and go to 30, just for heck of it, we're going to read down to 37. Would someone like to read that in whatever version that they have, please?
30.
Start with verse
30. But if his descendants forsake my instructions and fail to obey my regulations, if they do not obey my decrees and fail to keep my commands, then I will punish their sin with a rod and their disobedience with beating. But I will never stop loving him nor fail to keep my promise to him. No, I will not break any, my covenant. I will not take back a single word I said. I have sworn an oath to David, and in my holiness I cannot lie. His dynasty will go on forever. His kingdom will endure as the sun.
Okay. Anything jump out at anybody on that? Because something really jumped out at me that we're going to talk about here that I broke down But anything else jump out at anybody?
How many verses did you read, from 30 to what?
30 to 36. Well, I'll go ahead and get it started, and then you all can jump in. You know, Psalms 32 got my attention big time.
Yeah, that's pretty harsh, really.
Well, see, that's the cool thing about it. You know, we always say the natural declares the things of the Spirit. Well, in this case, if you're reading this with your natural mind, it doesn't come close to describing the things of the Spirit, because the things of the Spirit are just awesome. When you hear some of these words and their meanings, you're going to go, wow.
You talk about their iniquity with stripes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty strong statement there, you know. In this version it says, I will punish their transgressions with the rod of discipline and correct their wickedness with stripes. That's pretty strong, right? I mean, you know what stripes are. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, because Paul was a Roman citizen, I guess they had to stop short of, there was a certain amount, 40 stripes, I think, you weren't allowed to give a Roman citizen. So I think they stopped at 39. So we followed the law, you know. So, well, anyway, this scripture does not mean in your natural mind what it means with our spiritual mind. So we're going to dig into this here for a second.
Rich, excuse me, that was very good what you just said. Our natural mind and our spiritual mind. That was very good. Because there are two interpretations. There's two earths and two heavens. And when you read it through the natural mind, God is, you know, step out of line, you're going to get it. And I think that's the way that the Old Testament prophets now perceived it too, because, you know, even when the scriptures says, for they long to look into these things, I don't think that the Old Testament prophets saw the God that we see in the New Testament.
I don't either.
He was a God of wrath.
I think David saw a glimpse of it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some of the prophets saw a glimpse, but they don't see it the way we see it today.
Right.
believe that.
Yeah, they had on another pair of glasses, I think, than the glasses we wear.
You know.
I had a text this morning. Someone was asking me about the word conviction. Would I give them a word study on that? Not in the Bible.
I know.
It's not there.
There are probably some other translations other than the King James.
It's not in the original.
Yeah, right.
If you go back and look in Strong's Concordance, it's not in there.
Right.
Convicted is in there.
Yeah.
Convicted, but not conviction. And the reason I was asked that was because Charles Stanley preached on conviction this morning. Mm-hmm.
Did you do a word study?
There's nothing to study.
Oh, okay. It's not there. It's
you work on it.
I'm never here.
It's not there.
Me too.
Pull out your Strong's and Concordance and look up the word conviction. It's not there. It's not in there.
So what was Charles preaching on?
I don't know. I didn't listen to it. So I don't know what the context of
it. I can't say it because I'm not Charles Stanley.
Well,
anyway.
Let me just say one other thing there. You know, I looked at the word. I was doing a little word study at least recently on this. And it's funny that I was asked this because I looked up a scripture where it talked about damnation. And damnation is translated one or two times in the Bible, you know, as the word damnation. But it's at 40-something times it's translated as the word judgment. And it's krisis is the word. And that word means like a decision for, that's the first thing, or against. And if you look at what Jesus did in Scripture, what was his judgment when they brought the woman in the act of adultery? Was it for or was it against? When he saw the person that was demon possessed, what was his judgment? Was it for or was it against? It was for, because he said we're free. So I mean, you know, there's a
yeah.
And when you, like what you're saying, when you look at the stuff, it's a whole lot different than what it really, and you have to look at it with the eyes of the Spirit. If it's a judgment, if he's going to do judgment, he said, if I judge, my judgment is just. Mm-hmm. Well, he just said he didn't come into the world to judge the world, but he's given judgment according to Scripture to who? But know you not that the saints will judge the world. Well, if the saints are going to judge the world, guess what? You're going to have to use the same judgment he used. And the judgment he used was to set free, to release, to forgive, to not cast any stones, because anybody else wasn't worthy of throwing a stone, so why should you be worthy? You know, I mean, that turns it completely around. I'm sorry. I just got to ask that question. I can show you the text. I got to ask the question this morning.
No, I mean, what?
I said, well, I'll take a look at that. I went to look. That's why I didn't come in here. I was looking at it.
I just checked. It's not in there.
It's not there. No. It's not there.
And what you get a lot in the Christian community is opinions. And what's the definition of opinion?
If you look up, it's something falling short of the truth. See, an opinion, everybody's got one.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that everybody's got one.
Like a denomination.
And it's
everybody's got an opinion.
It's something falling short of the truth.
So, you know, that's why I try to not get rid of opinions, because
Brother Shep always used to say opinions are the roots of confusion.
There you go.
That's very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had somebody get on me one time because I gave them that definition. I gave them that definition in a class. Well, everybody has a right to their opinion.
Well, you have a right to be wrong.
Oh, sure.
There's really only one.
We need to throw our opinions in the garbage and only go with what God's word
says. That's right.
Yes. Yes. That's what we need to do.
That's right.
And that's not an easy thing to do.
It would be a much more cohesive body of Christ if the opinions were thrown in the garbage. Yes, right. Absolutely. Okay, so let's dig into this. Let's start with the word transgression. Okay, the actual word means exactly what you would think it means. Rebellion, to rebel, transgress, revolt, quarrel, or offend. Okay, so you would think that, you know, if you just look at it for that, what it says, then yeah, I mean, that's your natural opinion of that word is going to be accurate. But that's not what the root word of that word means. We're in Psalms 89:32 at this point. And we're talking about, Lisa, how the 89:32, if you read it in the natural, you don't get the full meaning of the scripture. Okay, so we're breaking it down and looking at spiritually.
Translation is a beautiful thing.
What's that?
Translation is a beautiful thing.
Amen. Okay, so what is the root of transgression? It's to step forward, to march. I like this, to expand the legs. So what are you doing when you expand your legs? You're taking giant steps. God is providing us with the opportunity to take giant steps in our walk with Him. So he takes that transgression and he gives us an opportunity to draw closer to him, to be able to walk with him, and to be able to have a close, intimate relationship with him. And this is something that's so beautiful. I had turned to Isaiah 27 because this root word is only found. And I love it when God does one little tiny thing, but it's huge. And this root word is only found in the Bible one time, and that's in Isaiah 27:4. Now, see how our loving God handles our transgressions in this scripture in Isaiah. I'm going to read it out of the expanded Bible. And just sit and listen to it. And then if you have it, if anything else in your Bibles that you'd like to share, I'd love to hear it. But I'm going to just read down to, I'm going to read down to verse 4, and then we're going to talk about verse 4. It says,
wow. You read that in the message?
Well, I'm reading it expanded, which I think is as good, if not better, than the message. It says, at that time, I want to hear from the message, Jim, if that's what you got. At that time and in that day, the Lord will punish Leviathan. Okay, so, you know, you heard of Leviathan and Job and different places in the Psalms. But Leviathan, it was in the natural, they considered it a sea creature, an ancient Near Eastern text that represents chaos. Okay? It says, or swift moving, fleeing, a snake, a serpent. And then also I looked up in Strong's, and it's a constellation of the dragon, which is also a symbol of Babylon. So think about that. What do we consider Babylon? The apostate church. So, you know, they're out there cursing their devils and whatever when, you know, right now they may be part of the problem in some cases, you know, so.
They may have created them in the first place.
Huh?
They may have created them and empowered them in the first place.
They may have created Leviathan, but they did.
You know, if you even think about, you said, you know, it also is what swallowed up
Jonah.
Jonah, trying to name. Swallowed up Jonah. And what happens to you when you get into these places of confusion, and it seems like the whole thing just swallows you
up. That's right.
You get so, you know, you just feel like sometimes there's no way out, but there's always a way out, and that's God.
You know, Rich, one time I went through an experience that was very painful many years ago. And I said, Lord, he kept showing me Leviathan. Every time I would seek the face of the Lord and say, why did I have to go through that experience? And he kept showing me Leviathan. And then the Spirit spoke to me. He said, Leviathan, son, is pride.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm taking out of you. And it's painful when I do it. But I'm pulling Leviathan out of you,
mm-hmm.
the pride.
That's good.
So to me, Leviathan has always been the pride of man, is the way I've seen it. By the
Spirit. Well, and what does it say about pride? Pride goes before what?
A fall.
A great fall.
Yeah.
Well, what was it with Jonah? I mean, Lord, I knew. See, it was his pride, really.
It was his turn.
Because he went and told everybody they were going to get wiped out. And God did just the opposite. Made him look like a donkey.
And see, that's even a type of the judgment of God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a perfect example of His ways are much higher than our ways.
Yeah. And even when Jonah finally did what God told him to do, it was like he was so reluctant. It's like, ah, God, I knew you were going to do that. Jeez.
Why, I didn't want to do it.
Just send me there for all
I don't like those Ninevites. Why did you make me do that? You know, and so, yeah, anyway. Okay, so, he will punish Leviathan, the coiled, writhing, twisting snake, serpent, with his great and hard and powerful sword. Huh?
That's pride.
Oh,
twisting
yeah.
Twisting snake.
Yeah.
In the garden.
Yeah. Writhing and twisting.
Yeah, writhing and twisting. Look at that. Uh-huh.
Even when you know you're in the wrong sometimes,
right.
You try to twist it into somebody.
Pride won't let you. That's right.
That's exactly it. He will kill the monster dragon in the sea. Remember we talked about the sea.
Mm-hmm.
The sea being those that don't know the Lord. But you've got so many that do know the Lord that are still have one foot in the sea. You know. The sea are those that don't know the Lord. The earth are those that know the Lord.
Yeah, we're teetering on the fence.
Yeah, you're either teetering on the fence of
right.
heaven, or you're teetering on the fence of
sea,
or you're somewhere in the middle.
Charles Stanley always says, you're either one or the other. You can't all be both.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people in both, but
that's
he's
what we
saying
struggle
probably
with every day.
Don't do
right.
it, because it will be confusion in your life, and it will be all the Babylonian things that we're talking about.
Yeah, when Jesus wrote the lead those in church, as we said, you're neither hot nor cold. You got one foot in the earth, one foot in the kingdom, and, you know,
like
make up your mind.
Like Lynn Howell says, You're neither cold or you're neither hot. You just make Jesus want to spit. Okay. At that time, we're in verse 2, at that time, in that day, sing about the pleasant, beautiful, or fruitful vineyard. Boy, there's all kinds of types and shadows. Whenever you talk about a vineyard, oh my gosh, we could go on for days in that. I chose not to use that because I want to get down to verse 4. God's people, by the Lord, will care for, watch over that vineyard, meaning God's people. I will water, and at the right time, regularly and continually. No one will hurt it, because I will guard it by day and night. Okay, here we go. Now this is Isaiah in the Old Testament. Okay, you got these people who want to separate the Old Testament and New Testament. Well, how are you going to deal with this one? Okay, it says, I am not angry. We just got done reading up there, you know, that, can someone read it real quick? The, what was it, number 26, was it? Wait, no, 30. Okay. Then I will punish their sin with the rod and their disobedience with a beating. Okay, we just got done reading that. And now here in verse 4 it says, I'm not angry. And even it says in parentheses, wrathful. If anyone builds a wall of thorn, I love this part. If anyone builds a wall of thorn bushes in war, are only there will briars and thorns against me. Here it goes. I will march to it. That's that word, that root of transgression. Okay, march, right? Remember you heard me say that? I will march to it, against it, in battle, and burn it. Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Holy Ghost power.
Huh?
Holy Ghost will burn that stuff up in you.
That's right. But I love that, you know, it's your transgressions, he's going to turn your transgressions into a closer walk with him. Because what's going to happen is he's going to show his love to you in such a way that you go, I just want to get closer and closer and closer to him. And then he's going to, and if anyone builds that wall of thorn bushes, Isaiah 27:4 in the King James says, fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and the thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them up. God would go through anything and has gone through everything for us. Everything. That word fury is heat, rage, hot displeasure, indignation, anger, wrath, poison. You know, some people think that's God, that he, fury is in him. He's saying it's not a part of me. It's not in me. And he goes on to say, if the briars are the thorns, adamant, and flint. That's the definition of briars. And the root on that, it says in the original sense of pricking. Like when the Lord asked, look at Paul's journey to Damascus. You know, what are you persecuting me, kicking against the nose of the pricks? You know, what did God do? How was God's wrath against Paul? I mean, if God was going to show his wrath, he would have shown it to Paul. Right?
He did.
Saul, whatever. Huh?
Oh, I thought, yeah, he did.
Saul, in other words, he was persecuting Christians. And he was standing there holding Stephen's cloak when he was stoned, basically ordering it.
And look at the wrath he had on Paul.
Did you ever look up the definition of the word pricks? Why you kick against the pricks? Uh-huh. It means the divine inspiration of God.
Wow.
In other words, God was divinely inspiring him to come his way, think his way, persuade him. And Paul kept kicking against the divine leadings of the Lord.
And we're going to get to a part here where it talks about the rod. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. So, but think back to that when we talk about the rod. Okay. The root of rod is to keep guard, observe, keep heed, keep oneself, refrain, and abstain. So when you look at that, it says, you know, when it all comes down to all this, it doesn't matter what we come against. God is always there to see us through. That word thorns is wild growth of weeds. Now, there's always, you know, seems to be someone trying to grow weeds in our lives, you know. Not always, but I'm just saying there's from time to time there's people that want to grow weeds in our life, but that's okay too. God will burn those up. And then the root of thorns is to take a stand. And then, you know, talks about God burning it up. He's a consuming fire. He's going to burn up all the hay, wood, and stubble.
Hey, Rich.
Yeah.
A while back, I wrote a prophetic word, and in it, the Lord said, for there are many in the valley of indecision, even though they have received my son Jesus, they have not taken on his life. So the spirit of burning is come to blow upon the coals of their heart and to flame the fires of passion for my son once again. For the spirit of burning will blow and blow upon the coals, and you will start to see the love and passion for my son come back to my bride as in the days of old. You will start feeling the heat and the warmth of his love as the spirit of prophecy blows across my church. Then you will see small flames as the heat intensifies over the coals. It will then, through the power of this spirit of burning, reach up and start consuming all the hay, wood. It will start consuming all the wood, hay, and stubble. Mm-hmm. And that's what the spirit of burning does.
Yeah.
It goes right along with what you're saying.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, the one thing I didn't look up that I just felt the Holy Spirit say something is that word flint. And flint occurs in the Bible only 5 times. Isaiah 50, verse 7, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Now you know how, you know, they use a flint back in the old days to start fires, right? It sparks it, and that's how they get something really dry, and that's how they would start a fire. So what is the flint that God uses in our lives to start that fire of burning up all the stuff in us that needs to be burned up? Anybody have any clue on that? Challenges,
yeah.
Things that come our way that that we really don't want to deal with, but because of whatever it is, it's going to make us stronger and better and more mature.
Drives us to Him.
Pardon?
Drives us to Him.
Exactly. That word flint, the root word on that is to dream. So we're dreaming of all the perfection that God is creating in us through that fire. It also means to be healthy, to be strong, and also, I like this, to be restored to health.
I'm thinking of conviction. Hopefully that's the same thing.
Isn't that funny? You're just talking about that.
You missed the first part of the class.
Oh, thank you.
Somebody contacted me this morning and asked me to give them the definition out of the Bible of conviction. It's not in the Bible, the word conviction.
Oh, it's not. It just gives us conviction to restore us.
Well, the word is not in there. Convicted is in there. Convicted, E-D. But not conviction.
Why, I always thought that...
And it's only once.
Yeah, only time, yeah.
I'm thinking of conviction, that it's like, give me a word of a sermon. Okay, and what's going to convict me to be a better person?
Well, but I was asked...
Okay.
To do a word study.
To do a word study from the Bible.
And it was not in there.
It's not in the Bible.
Gotcha, you said convicted was.
In the original Greek or in the original Hebrew, it's not in the Bible at all.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Conviction, I mean, the word conviction. So, a lot of times if we're not careful, we add things from our own point of view into things, you know.
Yeah, it also, it comes from a word that hardens. So, God will take that fire and burn the hardness out of us.
One other thing that I did say, which I'll tell you because this would be good for you too. I did a word study on damnation. Damnation does appear in the Bible. But it's only translated as damnation, I think, one or two times. 40 times it's translated as judgment. And it's the word krisis. And that word means a decision for or against. For or against. And if you're going to look at the judgment of God, look at what Jesus did. A woman was caught in the act of adultery. What was his judgment there? Was it for or was it against? When the person went, when the people had the demons in them, what was his judgment there? Was it for that person or was it against that person?
It was four because it ended up going into the pit.
Right, there you go. So, you want to see the judgment of God? That's the judgment of God.
How many times did you say it was used?
40 times.
40
convicted.
Times.
Convicted.
No, convicted.
Judgment.
Once.
Yeah. That was the lady that was caught in the act of.
No. No, it was something else.
Well, here it says...
I don't think.
And they heard of it being convicted by their own conscience.
Oh, they were convicted.
Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest.
Not her,
pick up. No,
them.
The judgment was for her. It was against them.
Well, yeah, they were convicted of
right.
the wrong judgment, but they turned around and did the right judgment.
Right.
In the wrong run. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was only in there one time.
Right. But it was for the individual that they were going to throw stones at. It
right.
To help her.
It turned them around. That's what it did, made them make the right judgment.
Yes, John 8:9, it says, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even into the least, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst.
Lisa, it would do you a good to come into this class as much as you can, because a lot of the things that we're discussing here would really help you understand from proper perspective of what
right.
the words actually say.
And you have such a hunger
yeah.
that you're probably not going to get a whole lot of it out there.
Yeah.
And I don't.
You know?
Yeah.
Even with my reading my own.
Well,
I think you guys are way over my head.
Well, and
well,
you need to stop us and get us to explain, because if we're saying
because
anything
like
that we can't
No.
If we're saying anything that you can't understand, then you need to stop us. Because if we can't explain it, we don't need to be saying it.
That's right.
To be honest with you, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the very last part of that Isaiah scripture in 27, which I'm not the very last, but just I'm going to read this one, verse 5, just to show you how loving, caring, and wonderful God is, even in the Old Testament. And that is, but if anyone comes to me for safety, refuge, or protection and wants to make peace with me, he should come and let him make peace with me. That's not the God that we hear sometimes out there.
All right, let's go back to Psalms 89:32, and let's talk about that word rod. Okay? Interesting word. It means staff, branch, offshoot, club, scepter, and tribe. From an unused root, probably to mean branch off. You know, I look at the rod as the rod of correction. And correction doesn't mean beating you over the head with it.
Sometimes you need it.
Well, but spiritually speaking, yes. But the other thing I really think that it's used in this and in many instances is a instrument of measuring. Okay? What does a shepherd do with a sheep? A good shepherd, do you see a good shepherd beating the heck out of the sheep?
They use that rod to gather them back in.
There you go. There, and that's what God, that's exactly what God does. He guides us back in. And that's the definition. When we branch off, He brings us back in. And this this measuring is just a leading. I can just see him. I can just see him with a rod. When you get out of line, or you get off to the right or the left, and you get, as he just takes that rod and just gently guides you back in, like you said.
Yeah. I like the hook. Neck. I like the hook. It's like hooking their neck.
Yeah. Well, it's a very nice way of doing the hook. The hook is. In Broadway, the hook is to get you off the stage. But anyway, so it's a I like this measuring. You know, we can, and it's not meant. You know, we're told not to measure the outer court, so it's not meant to measure to see how good we are. That's definitely not what I'm talking about. But it's measuring to see that, you know what? I just see how God has moved mightily in my life.
How good He is.
And how good He is by taking the time with someone like me and being patient and doing all the things He's done. And, you know, I think it's just awesome that He's taken that rod to me. And you know what? You can't even talk about the rod without talking about Psalms 23. You can't. You know.
Yeah, what David said about the rod?
Huh?
What David said about the rod?
Well, that's what I'm going to read here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah. Woo! You know, we want to die. You know, we want to go through that, acknowledge that we're dead to the world and we're alive in Christ. But it says, I will fear no evil. Well, the only way you're going to fear no evil is in Christ. That's the only. You can't fear no evil. Even when you're in Christ, sometimes you fear evil. But let me tell you something. He will take it away. It says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Okay, so what does it really mean? Because you had that Lyle guy, whatever his name is, I apologize.
That was him.
Okay. And he says, why do we keep using that verse for death? It's not a death thing. It's the get out of the valley thing or something.
Like
that. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, like I just said, it's to acknowledge that we are dead.
Gotcha.
And we are now in the life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we've been using it all out of context. Thank you.
Yep.
At least I got that. Okay. Thank you.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So we're not talking about, you know, getting beat over the head. I mean, how many times have you heard, there's people out there right now that won't come to the Lord because they've done something so bad that they don't think the Lord could possibly forgive them. So they stay away from the Lord. Their way to deal with it is, I'll just stay away from the Lord because I know He would never accept me, so why would I even try? How sad is that? And that's why He needs people like us to go to them and say, I don't care what you've done. It's already under the blood. It's already gone. It's already thrown away.
the slate is wiped clean, now move forward and just have a good, strong relationship with the Lord and don't even think about it again.
And the Amplified, the staff and Rada says, is to guide, protect, and comfort.
That's it. That's exactly it. In the Strong's, the word staff is the word for support of every kind. Mm-hmm. Support of every kind. Sustenance. What you need, he's going to provide. The root is, and I love this, to lean on. Lean on the Lord. Trust in the next word on the root word is trust in. Support of trust in God. It even comes right out. You don't have to even guess. It says it right out. Of trust in God. Lean, lie, rely, and a word that we've been using a lot around here. Rest. The staff brings rest.
It does.
Wow.
And that all comes from where Paul's talking to the Romans in 12:1-3. And he says, you've got to get your mind renewed. Because our old mind is always telling us all these horror stories about the Lord and stay away from God, he's wrathful, blah, blah, blah. But when you start getting your mind renewed, you start seeing things above instead of beneath, okay? Beneath is that ethereal, that earth carnal realm.
Yeah.
When you get up into the heavenlies, just like the guy you were talking about, you know, well, God can never forgive me because of the horrible sins I did. Well, all it takes is for God to just bring him above in a split second like he did me in that hotel room, you know. He just revealed himself to me. There wasn't any preacher there. There wasn't any Rich Ellison or Brenda, anybody actually ministering to me. It's just that I needed help, okay? And, you know, so God just manifests himself. Like Paul said, you know, when he called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. Mm-hmm. I mean, there wasn't anybody standing in front of Paul and saying, now, you know, hey, you got to, you know. All of a sudden, God revealed him, his son in him. Paul didn't know the son was in him. Paul loved God. He was persecuting, killing everybody, Christians, everybody. And God kept after him and after him, kept pricking him with bee stings and all that. The definition of the word pricks is bee stings and scorpion stings. But it also defines it as just being rebellious against the pricks of God. And so, you know, God just revealed his son, his precious loving son inside of him. And that was it.
That's all
it was all over with, you know. wasn't hard.
Even if you go back in the Old Testament and you look at the places where the rod was used, you know, Moses had a rod. Remember he went before Pharaoh and what he did? He cast it down. Mm-hmm. And it turned into a snake. Mm-hmm. Well, the Egyptians came forward and their magic people or whatever cast their rod down. What did it do? It turned into a snake. Mm-hmm. Well, what happened when Moses cast his down? It devoured the Egyptians. So God was showing, you know, that no matter what the world can bring up, God will consume that. Mm-hmm. He is greater than any of that. Mm-hmm. When they parted the Red Sea, I believe Moses wrote, you know, he wrote his staff. When they brought water out of the rock, what did he do? He smote the rock with his staff. Mm-hmm. You know, when there was a great battle, and Moses, a lot of times they say, stood on the rock, but he didn't stand on the rock, he actually sat on the rock. Mm-hmm. And when he sat on the rock, then I think Joshua and somebody else was on the other side. Two of the guys, I can't remember his name.
Aaron and Hur.
And what did they do? As long as they held his arms up, which I'm sure he had the staff in his hand, mm-hmm. as long as they held his arm up, the battle prevailed for Israel. But if his arms started to come down, then the battle went to the other people. Well, when you're holding the staff up, what are you doing? You're saying, God, you're in control. You're in control. And you know, I mean, even the natural things that took place, if you look at them with a spiritual eye, you can just see God all over them. And he was showing. I love that you did Psalm 23, because by rod and that staff, they comfort me. You know, they comfort me. You know, That doesn't mean there isn't correction in God, because there is, you know.
Well, that word comfort means to be sorry, console oneself, to repent. And all repenting is turning around.
But Oscar, don't you think that it's like Isaiah said, it's our own backsliding.
Our own inequities correct us. Yeah,
I think God lets the law grow, sowing and reaping come into play.
Well,
you know, and then when we finally get tired of getting beat up, then we turn above to the Lord, and He's always there.
Well, He quoted an Old Testament scripture in the New Testament when He said, whom the Lord loveth, He scourges, He chasteneth and scourges every son that He receives. If you endure without chastisement, then you're bastards. You're illegitimate. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing about correction done in the right way, is not really to punish. It's not for the sake of punishing them. I had a mother that was very good at that. Very, very good at that. I mean, she'd beat the far out of us sometimes when we were bad. But she didn't do it while she was angry. She said she would pray about it and wait until the Lord said now. And then she'd come home, and if she'd come home in a real good mood and you'd done something yesterday, she probably didn't get you yesterday. She'd probably get you today. And then she was correcting you in love, not in anger and not in hostility.
Not the flesh.
You know, not in the flesh. And she, I mean, God
she cool
showed
cat,
me a lot of principles.
She got
he taught me a lot of principles
she,
in that.
She got
and God,
you unexpectedly. That's,
well,
that's great.
You know, and I probably got more than any of the rest of them, because I was the meanest one. I mean, to be honest with you, I got in trouble more than the rest of them, I think. But I'm going to tell you what, you know, that's the thing. When you're corrected in love and you know it's because somebody loves you,
mm-hmm.
it's a different thing. You take it in a different way.
That's right.
I think I made my mother cry two or three times and with things that I did over my lifetime. And I would have rather her hit me over the head with a 2x4, you know, than make her cry.
Right.
Because, you know, I knew that I really hurt.
Disappointed.
Really disappointed.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the way with God. God a lot of times will let you know how much He loves you in the middle of correction, when you're being corrected. You know, He'll let you know. And a lot of times that's worse than as if you were being beat with many stripes or something, because you realize, God, I just let you down so bad in this situation. And then He comes in and still shows you the love and the mercy, but, you know, but you can't totally take correction out of there, because whom He loves, He does.
You just need to redefine it, I think.
Well, you need to know that it's all
functions
out of love.
But I don't like God's going to give you cancer.
Right.
No, well,
bring you where He wants you.
I don't necessarily believe that stuff about Him giving you diseases and stuff like that. But
it's still a natural aspect. If you're going to smoke 4 pounds of cigarettes a day,
I understand that from his father.
You can't blame God for it.
The most painful thing about my
nasty
conscience
things in your mouth.
So what's your father gets?
Well, people have a tendency that they do one of two things. They either blame the devil or they blame God. In any kind of correction.
That's human nature.
And like you said, Jim said before, Scripture says your own inequities are chastened. And most of the time, the trouble you get in and the problems you have are self-inflicted. You did it to yourself. But, you know, God also can intercede, and He could stop that if He wanted to. But He doesn't. He lets you be corrected. You know? And, you know, there's a balancing point there. You know, you can't just say, well, God never corrects you. Yes, He does.
Yes, He does.
But it's for our good. I was reading in Psalm 66 where it says, for you, O God, have proved us. You have tried us as silver is tried, refined and purified, and you brought us into the net, the prison fortress, the dungeon. You laid a heavy burden upon our loins. You caused men to ride over our heads when we were prostrate. We went through the fire and through the water, but you brought us out into the broad, moist place, to abundance and refreshment and open air.
Nice.
So all of that to bring us to and what He's done in us through it.
You know, correction, kind of, and this is kind of off beat a little bit, but you know, when you're in school and you really, really studied and you got a C and you thought you were going to get an A.
Or at least a B.
Or at least a B. You know, you thought.
Or at least pass.
Well, that's the C.
You know, you didn't
well,
say.
Well, he'll get you there, too.
You didn't say if you did, you were out of line. You didn't say, that darn teacher, you know, that teacher hates me, and that's why I got the. I mean, it could have been multiple choice, you know. I mean, there's not an amount of composition there. So no opinions at all were involved in this. But what it did is it corrected you to maybe study a little harder and get some help or whatever. And when you're doing that, then the next time you get the A. Mm-hmm. And you go, thank you, Lord, for the help. Because it was because of you that I got the A in this situation or whatever, life or whatever. Well, we almost got through what I wanted to get through, but this next part's really good, so you got to come next
Can I
week.
Just say one thing?
Yes, please.
If you... That scripture about your own sins will correct you. If you are being corrected, that means you've been convinced or convicted that
yes.
something's not right.
No, it
wasn't.
That was deep.
I just wanted to get back to Lisa.
No, you said it's going off the track, and I'm like, no, it's not, because it's right here. So
if you're being
and to be honest with you, Rich, as far as
that
trying to worry about
you have been convinced that something.
Yes. This morning, we're covering a lot of things that
I try to get through it, and then it pulls me back. You know.
Well, and that's because there's a lot of things there that need to be discussed.
Yeah, and some people still need to be taught. So.
Well, we all need to be taught.
Yes, we do.
By the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. By the Holy Spirit. Yes. You got the mic. Can you go ahead and pray?
Oh, sure.
Thank you, Father.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come in your presence right now. We thank you, Lord, for this class. We thank you for the insights that you bring out in it. And just that you're dealing with all of our hearts to just realize the love and mercy that you have for us, Father.
Yes.
We thank you that we know that any time that you do anything to correct us, it's done out of the attitude of love. And the attitude of wanting us to grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And Father, I just thank you. I ask you to bless everybody in this class.
Yes.
And Father, as this word goes forth over the internet, minister to hearts, let them realize that you're not a mean, horrible God sitting up in heaven just waiting to throw lightning bolts at everybody, but that you are a God of love and mercy, and your mercies endure forever. And I just ask you to just let this word minister to people as it goes through the internet, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.